Again, we want to welcome everybody watching online and everybody in the North County. God bless you. Before I start, I just want to kind of get our minds focused on a couple of things. How many of you are here for the first time? Anybody here for the first time? Okay, a bunch of people, Amen. God bless you. How many of y'all are here for the first, you haven't been part of this series, I think we're in week four now, called Wired for Love. You have not been part of that series. This is your first Sunday for that. Anybody raise your hand? Okay, very good. So here's what we want to do. We want to catch you up a little bit. We're doing a series called Wired for Love, and we're talking about how God has wired us in our brain, emotions, but mostly our brain, to be in a relationship with someone in love. And how we are, God wired us to be connected and faithful to one person, one man and one woman. And so we'll continue that. Today we're going to talk about the things that we'll do to destroy that. And pornography, promiscuity, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I wanted to prep you. Next week we're going to talk about women being violated. This week is more about, for the most part, how guys destroy themselves. And even though women do some of the things we want to talk about today, this is mostly a guy thing. Next week is more about women being violated and what that does to them. Next week, we're going to have a young lady here who is going to do a poem. It's a spoken word. It's more than a poem. About her experience being molested. If you go to wiredforlove.net, you can get a preview. Her stage name is Genetics. But if you go to, her name is Janet, but it's Genetics, her stage name. And she's going to come next week and give a spoken word. I'm going to be here doing a message, but she's going to be part of that. And the reason I'm telling you this is because I want to encourage you to go find people that would really resonate with her story. And the story in the Bible we're going to talk about is when Amnon, David, King David's son, raped his half-sister. And so we're going to talk about all of that. And we know that that impacts a lot of ladies. Genetics was violated, as you're going to hear, when she was a little girl. And so there are a lot of little kids who have experienced this, and they never say anything. They don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. And so we want to just bring it out to the light. Now, when we talk about this stuff in church, you know, I don't really get a whole lot of, I haven't heard a whole lot of people saying, why are we talking about it? But every now and then they go, why are we talking about pornography in church and this and that? One, it's already in the church. There's people in here every day who are dealing with this stuff. And it's somewhat ignorant to act like it's not there. Not only that, it's in the Bible. Everything you deal with is in the Bible. Matter of fact, there's stuff in the Bible that you only see on Jerry Springer show. There's some wild stuff in the Bible, so we're going to talk about it all. As far as pornography, one in every two guys watches pornography or has watched pornography. That's half you guys in there, one in every six women. And so all that stuff is already in the church, and so we want to bring it to the light. The devil has great leverage in darkness. And so I say all this to say, next week, if you guys and ladies can bring some people that will resonate with this young lady's story, go to wiredforlove.net. She is powerful. My daughter put it on for my wife and I. We sat there and just, you know, we're in tears listening to this lady's testimony. So anyway, just want to give you a heads up to bring somebody for next week. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. We getting ready to get funky. Ooh, Lord, I pray, God, that you would set people free. Lord, set us free. Lord, I pray you speak to the core of people's hearts today. I pray you heal marriages. Lord, I pray that whatever is revealed today in relationships, that you would heal it. I pray you prepare spouses for what they're going to hear. I pray you prepare them for conversations they're going to need to have after today. I pray for transparency in relationships. And we just thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's see your Bibles today. Say word. Ooh, yeah. One more time. Say word. Very good. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. We'll start at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, which is the seventh book of the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 6. Now, I don't know how many of you are on Facebook or Twitter, If you're on Facebook, say amen.
Amen.
If you're on Twitter, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, Facebook. I'm on Facebook and Twitter, and I tweet every day. So you can follow me at Miles McPherson or follow me on Facebook. And I'm developing my tweetology philosophy. Tweetology philosophy. And so on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but especially Friday, Saturday, I start to tweet about the sermon coming up. And my tweets go on Facebook, so it doesn't matter, you're going to get it both. But and if you're not on Twitter, it's 144 characters or spaces. So the word T-H-E period is four characters. So the bottom line is they're very short. So I like to just tweet, boom, 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 on into writing along. It's a lot of stuff. And so what I tweeted out over the last couple of days was stuff related to today. And then people respond. And sometimes I ask for a response. Sometimes I don't, whatever. But I said, someone once asked me, are all sins the same? So I tweeted out that question. Are all sins the same? What do you think? Let me hear your thoughts. And sometimes when you tweet stuff, I shouldn't say sometimes, always when you tweet stuff, people tweet back stuff that has nothing to do with what you said. So I say, all sins the same, let me hear your thoughts. And someone says, well, you're asking the wrong question. So, no, I'm not. I'm asking the question I want to answer. All sins are the same. God's going to forgive all sins. That's not the question. Are all sins the same? And so we got all these answers back, blah, blah, blah. And I want here to tell you that all sins are not the same. There are some sins worse than others. Now, all of it breaks God's heart. All of it's the penalty of, there's a death penalty associated with it. In other words, something dies with all sin and all that kind of stuff. But some sins are worse than other sins because of the consequences you experience. It's one thing for me to go steal a candy bar, which is a sin, than me to murder somebody. It's two very different things. They both are offensive to God. They both will give me the death penalty and send me to hell. And by the way, there may be different experiences in hell. You know, you can go to hell or you can go to hell. You could H-E double toothpicks or H-E four toothpicks. Okay. But there's different kinds of sins. And one of the worst sin that you can commit is sexual sin. Look what it says in verse chapter 6. Chapter 6, 1 Corinthians, it says, verse 15. It says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? This is someone who has asked Christ to be their Savior, and Christ is in your body. That makes you a member of a body, a member of Christ, if he's your Savior. It says, shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. And do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her or him? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. And he who is joined to the Lord is one in spirit with him. Verse 18, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. It's different. And do you not know that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Now, let me say a little tangential comment. You may say, well, I don't have Christ in me, so that doesn't apply. Well, the only thing that doesn't apply is that you're not joining Jesus with a harlot, but you are joining yourself to somebody. And when you sin sexually, you are sinning against your physical body. And so there's a different consequence. I was doing a class, a video on an instructional video on sexual purity for teenagers. I asked these kids, can you have safe sex? And they were like, oh yeah, you can have safe sex, put a condom on. So I said, okay, let's do it. I had a blackboard back when they were blackboards. I don't even think they make blackboards anymore. They only have whiteboards. Why do they do that? Why do they take the blackboard out and make the whiteboard? Start with that. Gotta bring blackboards back. So I wrote on the blackboard, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. And in this class of teenagers, I said, I want you to tell me all the physical dangers of having sex. And we wrote all this stuff down. All the emotional, wrote a whole list down. All the mental, wrote a whole, all the social, wrote a whole list down. And we didn't get into spiritual because it was a public school, but all the spiritual. Look at all these dangers. Now tell me how you can be safe from all of that. How's a condom going to protect your reputation? How's a condom going to protect your mind? How's the condom going to protect your relationship with God? It's not. And so we talked about all the ramifications. So today, I want to talk about that. And today's message is called X-Men. Because if you do the stuff we're going to talk about today, you will certainly be somebody's ex. Now, in week one of this series, we talked about how God wired us for a relationship. When he made, in the beginning, he created everything. He created everything good. The only thing that wasn't good was man was alone. And so he made Eve so man could have relationship. We were created. The reason man was created was to enjoy what God has, which is a loving relationship. We were not created to live alone. We were created to live in relationship. Now, it doesn't mean, I'm not talking about necessarily marriage relationship in general, but we were created to have a relationship with people and to love people. And then we would love God. And by the way, the same way we love people is the same way we love God, because we have a relationship system that God has given us. And we, through that system, we develop relationships with anybody, God and people. Week two, we talked about perfect love, how there's different kinds of love. There's eros love, which is kind of more of erotic love. There's phileo love, which is a friendship love. Then there's agape love. And agape love is a deep love. We have a love system where we can love people with not expecting anything in return. A lot of people love to get. That's kind of a selfish or eros love. It's erotic. It's all about me. But then it becomes where you get to agape love, where it's all about you. And God loves us with agape love. It's all about us. He died for us. And most of the people he died to forgive, they reject him. But he loves them anyway. They'll still suffer the consequence, but he still loves them. Then we talked last week about how we were wired to be one with somebody. Today we're going to talk about X-Men. And how there's behavior, and if we have our brains rewired to function in a way contrary to the way it's designed, we will be somebody's ex. Your life, you will suffer consequences. Now, how many of y'all in here, just by a show of hands, you are in a relationship with someone, dating or married? Just raise your hand. Oh, very good. How many of you are not? Okay. Woo, yes. Whatever that means. But I would assume we all, I shouldn't even assume we all want to be, but this topic is so critical, because for all of you, especially who are married, if God speaks to you about something, I want to encourage you to talk about it before today's over. And there are a lot of guys in here sitting right now who are watching pornography on a regular basis. There are some of you who are going to go home today and watch pornography. Some of you women are going to go home and watch pornography. Some of you couples are going to watch it together. Some of y'all sleep cheating on your wife, cheating on your husband, you're sexting, you're doing all these different things. My prayer is that God would minister to your heart, because it's not a secret to God. And there's consequences you're paying. And so the reason we want to talk about this is we want to bring it out into the light to help you. Okay, so number one in your notes, number one, our brains were designed to be wired to love one partner. God wired your brain and created you as a human being, your heart, your emotions, your physical body. But today we're going to focus mostly on the brain for the most part, to be united as one person. So let me describe, kind of summarize what we talked about last week. By the way, if you weren't here last week, you can get the elongated version of this. But in our brains, if you look up here, this is your right brain, and this is my left, but your right brain and your left brain. Your right brain processes the here and now. And when you are intimate with somebody, and when you're in a relationship and you're intimate with somebody, you are experiencing pleasure in your right brain, and your left brain is storing the facts of the experience and the facts of the person, what they look like, what they smell like, things you do together, their emotions. And while you're being intimate, you're experiencing the pleasure and you are storing the facts. And these neurons that are firing, having a good time, and these neurons that are firing, I know who this person is, they wire together and they connect. And this pleasure is associated with this person. Now, this is very important for you to understand, because it's not just you with that person. That person is being imprinted on your physical brain. Now, women have a hormone called oxytocin. Men also have oxytocin and vasopressin, but oxytocin women have more of, and it's at higher levels. And oxytocin bonds people together. It's a nurturing hormone. So women are more nurturing. They have a higher oxytocin. You don't need any science to prove that men are less nurturing. They're like, you know. That's why women hug and men just fist bump. Boom, boom. That's it. They don't want to. But when people are intimate, guess what? The man's oxytocin goes up and he bonds with the woman. God designed it that way. And so that caring, bonding, nurturing feeling that you get through oxytocin when you're intimate is also embedded in your left brain. And you remember that. And your brain stores that this person you love, this person is your wife, your husband. They smell like this. They look like this. Her voice sounds like this. You guys have all these memories. And that person is embedded in your brain. And when you have pleasure with them, those things are connected. That's what God wants. That's how God wants you to bond together. Oh, by the way, sex is not about pleasure as much bonding. It's pleasurable, but it's really about bonding and connecting, where two people become one. This is very important for you to understand, because we get so distracted with the pleasure that we miss the bonding part. Bonding takes time, and it requires two people to bond over a long period of time and through hard times. Someone asked me, well, do I have to be married? I mean, if I was standing right over there about a month ago, a guy said to me, he came with his girlfriend, and he says, why do I have to be married? I live with her, and I love her, and, you know, she knows I love her. And I says, well, why, if you love her and you're living with her, why don't you get married? Well, I said, well, basically, you have a receipt, and you're thinking about taking it back and getting your stuff back. You need to tear the receipt up and make the commitment. Why? Because bonding requires commitment. One of the building blocks of being bonded is that you have made a statement to that person, I am going nowhere. And you don't have to worry about it. Matter of fact, people who live together, their divorce rate is 75 to 80%. If you live together before you get married, you have to bond, get committed. And so that's why you have to get married. That's what we call bonding. So God says, I want to bond two people where they are one. That's what your brain is designed for. Okay, so here you got right brain pleasure, you got left brain, you got facts of that person, you got the emotions of that person, the emotions associated with that person. And by the way, there's bonding goes on with family members. Like if you hug somebody for 10 seconds or more, your oxytocin goes up and you bond with that person. This is not only a sexual thing, it's just a relationship thing. When a mother breastfeeds a baby, the oxytocin levels go up, she bonds to the baby. So I was going around hugging my daughter. I said, come on, I need 10 seconds. Give my wife, I need 10 minutes. 10 seconds. See, my homeboys, I was like, 1 second, bop, bop, that's it. No more than 10 seconds. Number two, a brain wired for multiple partners will enslave you to self-destruction and lead you to self-destruction. A brain wired for multiple partners will enslave you. Now, it is important for us to understand what's going on in your head when you are doing what you think is fun. Turn to Romans chapter, right before the book, right before you're at, Romans chapter 6. Many people will say, well, who are you to say what is right behavior or wrong behavior? Or who are you to say what is sin or not? I am absolutely nobody. My opinion means nothing. My views mean absolutely nothing. I am nobody. And I will, at the end, when we stand in judgment, I will judge no one. All I'm telling you is what God said. And if you disagree, you have a right to disagree. But just know that it's between you and God. And so when you go to God in the end, and the courtroom, you hope you have good evidence for your disagreement. But my encouragement to you, because sex is such a powerful topic, my encouragement to you is to be honest with yourself and with the truth about what you hear and what's going on in your life and what's going on in your heart, and give yourself the opportunity to be set free from what you are a slave to. Look what it says in Romans chapter 6, verse 16. It says in verse 16, it says, do you not know that to whom you present yourself a slave to obey, you are that one's slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? Somebody's slave you will be. And if you live your life to yourself, you will be a slave to sin and death will result. If you live your life and obey God, you will be God's slave and you will lead to life. But you will be someone's slave. You will not control your life. Somebody, you are going to serve a master. And one of them is going to lead to death, and one of them is going to lead to right. Now, so here's the magical formula. How do I know if something's right or wrong? Well, it's in the Bible, and just in case you want verification, does it lead to death or does it lead to life? You know, if I'm faithful to my wife, I will never get a venereal disease. I won't have an unwanted pregnancy. I won't have social drama. I won't have mental drama. As long as we're faithful to each other, none of this stuff will ever come. It can't. It won't. As long as we do the as long as we do it right. But as long as you do it according to the word, some people say, "Well, you know, I got married and I did this and we broke up." I said, "Well, something ain't right." No, we did everything right, and no, you didn't. Well, I did kind of cheat on him. Bingo. So, a brain wired for multiple partners. What are multiple partners? Jesus said in Matthew 5:25, you've heard it said, you should not commit adultery. I say if you lust after a woman or if you lust after a man, you commit adultery. It's in your head. It all starts right there. It's in your heart and your head. So what are multiple partners? A brain wired for multiple partners. Pornography. Watching pornography. When you watch pornography, by the way, you have mirror neurons in your head. And the mirror neurons enable you to mirror someone's behavior and mirror someone's feelings. So when you're with your spouse, mirror neurons were designed, intended for you to look at your spouse and both of you have the same feeling at the same time, sharing one heart, oneness. The perverted way, and I say perverted because it's not the intended way, is to look at someone else who's not your spouse or multiple people and enter into that act in your mind. You enter into that act in your mind, and you are acting and you are participating in your mind. And all of a sudden, guess what's in your head? Those people. So what happens is when you have multiple partners, whether it's pornography, whether you're sexting, whether you're sleeping with this guy, that girl, those guys, those girls, whatever you're doing, you go to bathhouses, you're going to parties, whatever you do, wherever you go, you have your right brain, your left brain. Remember we talked about right brain is pleasure, left brain is this one person that's imprinted in your mind. And your neurons on your left brain say, I'm going to connect with that one person. I identify with that one person. What happens when you put another person on your brain? Now you have another imprint of one other person. And then you have an imprint of a third person. And then you watch pornography and there's three or four or five people that you just imprinted on your brain. You know what your right brain says? I'm confused. Which one do I bond with? Which one do I connect with? And you know what happens when people, when men commit adultery, and I say men because I believe the stats are that more men commit adultery or women commit adultery too. But what happens is you'll have this woman on your spouse, and your brain knows it's your wife. Your brain knows that's the partner. And then when you put another person on your brain, your neurons on your right brain say, that's not your wife. And they release stress hormones into your body. There are guys, women, when women find out their husband's cheated on him, some of them will say, I noticed that he was angry with me. And the reason he was angry with you is because his body was convicting him that there was a wrong woman in his brain. And they release stress hormones into his brain. Praise God. This is God. You can't do nothing about this. You can pray all you want. God said, no. Your brain's saying, brother, that's not your wife. I don't know that person. And so guess what? Guess what you teach your brain? You teach your brain, your pleasure, your right brain. You teach your brain that sex is no longer about bonding because I don't know which one to bond to. So you're teaching your brain that sex is only about pleasure. And you create this, you rewire your brain. And you rewire your brain to think this. I want to have sex. I have sex and I don't connect. I want to have sex, I have a sexual experience, and I don't connect. I want to have sex, I have sex, and I don't connect. Now, whether you're in a relationship with your wife or husband, goes both ways, or not, this pathway will be rewired into your brain. And what happens is the more sex you have, the more desensitized to it that you become, and the more you have to be satisfied. It's called an addiction. It's with every drug. I use cocaine. And I remember when I first used cocaine, I didn't really understand it. I got high, but then I started understanding the high. And then all of a sudden, I needed more to get high. And I became addicted. And I needed more often, and I needed more of it. It's the same exact thing. Sex is a mood-altering experience. Can I get amen? Amen. And so what happens is people get in this cycle that they train their brain that sex is only about pleasure, and the brain will become more sensitive to sexual cues. In other words, your brain is looking for it. You may be walking down the street and a lady you've never seen in your life says hi, and all of a sudden your brain says she wants to have sex with you. Now the ladies are laughing because they think it's ridiculous. The brother's going, yeah, I know exactly what that means. Why you want to let that out the bag, big fella? Why you? Ladies, just for your information, men think completely different than you. And by the way, women can have their brain wired this way as well, but men think very different than you. So what happens is their amygdala in their brain releases dopamine and says, sex. Their testosterone goes up and says, you got to go get it. And it creates a sexual tension. And then, whether it be pornography, whether it be self-gratification, whether it be going to someplace on the down low to do some dirty with some girl or guy, another guy, whatever it is. And that cycle is neurologically wired in their brain. And that's what becomes your pleasure. Now, you're married, and you're in this relationship with your wife or your husband, and this is your brain. Guess what happens when you're together with them? Your brain goes, I don't know what to do. Because you have now all these images in your brain. You are with one person physically, but mentally you're with 20. And all of a sudden you're trying to bond, and your wife or your husband saying, you know, you're with me, but you're not. Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. You're with me, but you're not, and you can't explain it. I'm explaining it to you. There's somebody else in the bed. There are couples who watch pornography together, and all of a sudden, instead of now being two people connected to one, there's 40 in the bed. And God says, that's not how I created it. So what the brain does, disconnects it. I can't bond. I don't know which one to bond to. You got too many people. And so the brain rewires itself to say, this is only about pleasure. And all of a sudden now, you just become pleasure partners. It's not about bonding. The relationship is destroyed. And you have an addiction. You don't have to look now, but in your notes, there's a list of different criteria. Matter of fact, let's look real quick, because I just want to read through this real quick. I think I have it in my notes. You have a list of signs for sexual addiction. And you might be saying, hey, man, why is he talking about sexual addiction? Like two people in here are sexual addicted. I don't know about that. Because you may be on your way. Look what it says. A pattern to resist impulses, to engage in acts of sex, frequently engaging in those behaviors to a greater extent and over a longer period of time. Persistent desire or unsuccessful efforts to control those behaviors. Inordinate amount of time spent obtaining sex, being sexual, or recovering from sexual experience. Preoccupation with behavior. Frequently engaging in sexual behavior when unexpected to fulfill occupational, academic, domestic, or social obligations. Let me say this. There are some times when people will say, I need a sexual release because I am stressed. Because your brain has taught you that. This is a slave. Turn to John chapter 8. Turn to John chapter 8. There's a movie out called, I think it's called What's Your Number. And it's about a young girl who had, I think she had 20 boyfriends or something like that, and she slept with all of them, and she was complaining to her girlfriends, why can't I ever find a man, blah, blah, blah. And somebody in the movie, and one of her girlfriends says, you know, statistics say that if you've been with 20 other people in America as a woman, you're never going to have a meaningful marriage. There's no one number for everybody, but what she was saying was that if you have all these images in your head, it's going to be very hard to rewire your brain to bond with one person because you trained your brain to just have pleasure. And so you can't connect in relationship. You can't bond. Doesn't mean you can't have a relationship. You just can't bond because you could have a whole bunch of relationships without bonding. And or you've been with so many people, your heart is hard. You've reinforced this negative view in your heart that all men are dogs or all women are this or you're a failure or you're unlovable. And the more you perpetuate that behavior, you're also perpetuating the belief in your heart that that's all you're going to have. And so when the devil's telling you, have more fun, try again, what he's really telling you is reinforce the negative, reinforce the failure to connect, instead of trusting God and doing it his way. And you become a slave and you become addicted. And if you look at your relationships, how many people have you been with over and over and all these different people, another person, and sometimes people you don't even know. And all these people are now embedded in your head and your brain is saying, well, this is the pattern. You have now retrained me. And so what we're going to do is we're just going to look for pleasure. And I'm going to teach you to act just to get pleasure. And yet why am I not getting what you want? And by the way, one of the reasons that more sex will never satisfy you, because some of you think, well, I just like having sex. Well, okay, guess what? But the reason it won't satisfy you, beside the risk of it all, the emotional risk, the mental risk, the social risk, the spiritual risk, the physical risk, besides all those risks that bring death, disease, and reputation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, what it's going to do, it'll never fulfill you, because really what you're searching for is what you were created for, which is bonding in relationship. And you'll never get it through just pleasure, because God designed those two things to go together. And what the devil just did is wire you to never have those two things go together. He's a mastermind. He's an ingenious. He's not smarter than God, but he's smarter than us. Oh, I tweeted out the other day, also one of my tweets was, it was something like, do you have a relationship with the devil? And one of the tweets, no, I don't have a relationship with the devil. I says, if you don't think you have a relationship with the devil, he has you right where he wants you, in the dark. We all have a relationship with the devil. It doesn't mean it's buddy-buddy. I mean, he's your homeboy, but he is definitely in your head. He's definitely, you definitely interact with him every day, and you need to know the nature of the relationship, that he's a liar and a thief and a murderer. You need to know the relationship and how he deceives you. Because if you think, well, no, I just believe in Jesus. Oh, no, you believe in Jesus, all the more so he's after you. I'm not saying he's your boy. I'm just saying there's a relationship there. But look what it says in Romans 8. What did I say? John 8. Let me go there. John 8. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm getting there. I got all my pages mixed up. John 8, 34. Look what it says. It says, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits a sin is a slave to sin. The devil wants to enslave you. Turn to Romans chapter 12, and we'll end with this. Romans chapter 12. This is the good news. The good news is number 3 in your notes, that a brain can be rewired through God's submission to God. I would have all you men and women to pray for your spouse, your girlfriend, your boyfriend. All you ladies in here, pray for your man every day, because the devil is bombarding him. Let me say this. He is bombarding us with stuff, even when you don't even want it. Sometimes I'll be on my computer and it'll pop up. Hey, how are you doing? I'm so-and-so from Russia. You want to have a friend? I'm like, I don't know you. Click. It's just coming at you. And you, my Russian friend. Fellas, you know what I'm talking about, right? And ladies, what you wear. Please help a brother out. Y'all are just like, oh, Pastor, lay hands on me, Pastor. Pray for me. No, I ain't gonna lay hands on you, girl. Some might jump off you and get on me. You better back off. Pray for your man. Pray for your woman. Look what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you, Romans 12, 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, according to the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. God is saying, please present your body to me. I want it. And then it says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're going to pray here in a minute. And I want to encourage you today, We have ministry for men only and for women only. They want to pray with you, your marriage, you as an individual. Bring up your spouse, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your cousin. But please acknowledge that the devil is not trying to give you pleasure. He's using pleasure to enslave you and destroy you. And we all know those images that are in your head from 20 years ago are still in your head. From when you were a teenager, first time you looked at a magazine, they're still in your head. Back before there was the internet, before there was, you know, something on television you can watch. That stuff is still in your head. And how prevalent it is now online is ridiculous. And the devil's putting all that stuff in your head, and guess what? It'll be a long time before it goes away. But here's what God can do. God can cleanse your mind. But if you don't, you got competition for your wife, for your husband. You got competition for your girlfriend. You got competition for your relationship. And you will be tormented. We know couples here, and we've met. Because of pornography, couples that are married have not had sex in years. They have not had sex in years. That's death. Oh, yeah, wait, I'm enjoying it. Oh, you're enjoying what? You're enjoying someone you never touch. It's on the screen. And yet your wife's right there. You're not having sex with her. It says that, so the devil is not playing. And so we want to encourage you to give God an opportunity to heal you. Now, you may be saying this has nothing to do with me because we're good. Praise God. But it does have something to do with you. You have a son and a daughter, and you have people in your church family you could pray for and encourage and be prepared to help and be a role model to. And by the way, and you also have the ever-present temptation because the devil's always scheming. He's always scheming. I don't ever be in a room alone with a woman, ever, except my wife, my family, my wife. He's scheming. Or I'm not in a car alone with a woman, except my family. Because I don't trust him. Him. I'm sure, I trust you. I trust you. My bad. Lord, we just, you love me. I might not be here next week, but I'll be dead. Lord, I just pray tonight for freedom. I pray for conversations tonight. I pray for deliverance today. And Lord, I pray that people today would receive forgiveness, cleansing, would ask for help. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If you want to surrender yourself a living sacrifice to God, that he may renew your mind and cleanse your heart for whatever reason. It may be directly related to what I talked about today. It may be related to your salvation. It may be related to you want your marriage healed. As I'm praying, all I want you to do is get up out of your seat and come to the altar and bring your wife, your husband, your girlfriend, your family, whoever it is, or come by yourself. Eyes closed, heads bowed. Right now, you say, Lord, I want my mind renewed. I just want my mind to be pure, period. And it may not even be sexual related. It may be pride related. It may be discouragement, whatever. I just want you to get up out of your seat right now. God bless you. Eyes closed, heads bowed, and come to the altar. Very good. Come on down to the altar. Bring your spouse. Bring your wife, your girlfriend, your husband. Right now, if you're in a balcony, all you have to do is stand up, turn around, and walk. And the ushers will guide and direct you down. But just come down to the altar. There are some of y'all's marriages that are struggling. You have secrets you need to talk about. You have issues you want to get rid of. God bless all of you. Eyes closed, head bowed. This is private, yet public. Be praying about your own life. Be praying about your own marriage. Be praying about your own addiction, your own issues. And in every single one of your lesson plans is steps to how to deal with if you have an issue. Just get up out of your seat and come on down to the altar. God wants to set you free. If you're in the balcony, please just stand up, turn around and walk up, and the ushers will direct you down. Come on down. Anybody else? Some of you, you wives, you got your husband by the hand and you're squeezing his hand. Fellas, come on down. Come on down. God wants to set you free. The devil will never let you go, ever. He does not give up. His territory It must be taken by a stronger man. That stronger man ain't you, it's Jesus. So come forward, anybody. Ladies, there's some ladies in here, you're watching pornography, you're cheating on your husband, you got something going on in your head as well. Come on down, bring your husband. You may want Jesus as your Savior. You have nothing to do with what I talked about today. Come on down. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Good. We're just going to wait. Got another minute. Got another minute. Lord, I pray that you would affirm in everybody's heart that this is nothing they can just wish away. It's not that bad. Heroin addicts start out with cigarettes. A destroyed marriage starts out with one visit to a website, one flirty look to a coworker. It starts out simple. Let's cut it off now. Anybody else? Come out of your seat. Come on. Come out of your seat right now. Lord, I pray for all these people, and I pray for their mind. I pray for their brain. I pray for their heart. I pray for their relationship with their loved one. I pray for the people watching online. I pray for the people watching in North County. I pray, Lord, that you would set them free, that you would deliver them from the bondage that they're potentially in. I pray for all of us, Lord, that we would be honest with ourselves. And the next time we visit that dark place, you would convict us. You would send those stress hormones all through our body and help us to realize, no, this is not right. And that you would give us a hunger and a thirst to be faithful to one as you are faithful to us. Thank you, God, for being good to us and being bigger than every problem we would ever have. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say something. Let's give these people a hand real quick. Don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. Let me say to all of you, in a minute we're going to have you go in the back. We want to encourage them for coming down here, that God wants to do something amazing in your life. And all we have to desire and pursue is what God created us to have. We're not asking for anything special. We're just saying, God, I want what you want me to have. And what God wants you to have is wonderful. We just got to do it his way. But if you say, God, I just want what you want me to have, and I have to do it your way. That's it. I want to encourage you. We're going to clap for them as they walk in. We're not going to leave until they're all getting in that room. So I appreciate you waiting for a minute. I want to encourage you for next week. Go to wiredforlove.net. Check out the video about genetics and invite a friend next week. We want to see women set free. There are women who have had things happen to them years ago or last week who are in bondage to it. We want to see God set them free. And it's impacting their relationships and will impact their relationships for the rest of their life, potentially, unless they do something about it. We want to help that process. And it may be, you may have, well, let me say this. You probably have women in your life you have no idea. Just invite them to church. Just say, come on to church. Just invite as many women as you can. Guys too, but especially women. Amen? Lord, I pray for these people. I pray you bless them. I pray you encourage them. And I pray you set them free. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we leave, let's clap as they get into that room. Let's walk this way. Amen. Come on, let's give them a big hand. Come on.